Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 5, the Gospel according to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And our subject this morning is the resurrection to come. The resurrection to come. Well, we turn this morning to these words in the Gospel according to John, and these words are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and these are tremendous words, and we will look at the context as we go through. But these words in verses 28 and 29, before we read them, the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives us an instruction as to how to respond to these words. And he says, marvel not at this. Marvel not at this. And we shall see that this is actually quite a hard thing to do, because what the Lord is actually saying is very amazing. These are very amazing words, words that are hard not to marvel at. And so, we marvel at the fact that he even says this. Marvel not at this. Elsewhere, the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks about showing greater works that ye may marvel. In verse 20, for example, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. And of course, just to say this by way of introduction, there was so much about the Lord Jesus Christ that was marvelous. Whatever you may think of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not be a Christian here today. I don't know your state or standing, but whatever you may think of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no denying that this Jesus of Nazareth was marvelous. He spoke marvelous things. Words that were so insightful, words that were so full of wisdom, words so full of truth and grace. Never man spake like this man, some would say, about the Lord Jesus Christ. People marveled at the words that he spoke. And of course, there were the great miracles. The lame were able to walk, the deaf were able to hear, the blind were able to see, lepers were healed, 5,000 were fed simply by 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Water was turned to wine. All of these things people marveled at. You read constantly in the gospel account that when the people saw these things, they marveled. And people still marvel at the Lord Jesus Christ. They still marvel. We spoke a little on Friday about how the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the most influential person in history. People marvel. How could this preacher, not even in a great kingdom in Palestine, in Judea, with only 12 disciples, how could he have so much influence over history? You look back at history, everywhere there is Christ. Greater influence than all the kings and emperors put together. People marvel at this. They don't understand this. And people marvel even at Christian people. I've met people, they're amazed. I didn't realize there were so many Christians nowadays. How can there be Christians in this day and age, in this modern atheistic age? How can people still go to church? And we prayed about people in far-off lands where there's violence, there's persecution, people are imprisoned because they're Christian, and yet there are still Christians there. That's an amazing thing. People marvel. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the gospel is marvelous. So many marvelous things we could mention. But, Christ says here, marvel not at this. Verse 28. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says, marvel not here, well, it is to encourage belief in what he is about to say. Marvel not at this. Verse 28, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Marvel not at this. Don't disbelieve it. There are many Christians, even many people, but even Christians who do not believe this, who would reject this teaching, the resurrection of the dead. They're willing to believe many things about Christianity, many of the doctrines. They're willing to believe that Christ existed and so on. But the resurrection of the dead, well, they say to themselves, well, that can't be true. That must be a fantasy. That's make-believe, isn't it? That's too much for us to believe, that everybody one day is going to rise from the dead. We can't believe this. But the Lord is saying, marvel not at this. You have to believe this. Don't hear this and reject it as though it's too fanciful. Marvel not at this. This will surely happen. This will surely come to pass. Whether you believe it or not, the dead will rise again. And this is a marvelous thing. Marvel not at the resurrection of the dead. Marvel not, of course, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself, well, he raised people from the dead. He himself raised people from the dead. That was numbered amongst his miracles. We read, for example, of the daughter of Jairus. In the gospel accounts, Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, and he had a daughter, 12 years old, and she died. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, she is not dead, she is only sleeping. And everyone laughed at him, laughed him to scorn. They were like these unbelievers, oh, you can't raise people from the dead. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ said to her, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And at the sound of his voice, she arose. She rose from the dead. Later on in this gospel, we have the very famous account of Lazarus. Lazarus, you know it well. He was in the tomb 4 days. And everyone was a bit afraid of Lazarus coming out. Surely by this time he stinketh. But what happened? Well, the Lord stood before the tomb, and at the sound of his voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. He was raised from the dead. So marvel not at these things. It has happened before. The Lord Jesus Christ has already raised people from the dead at the sound of his voice. So marvel not. It's happened before. It will happen again. And of course, Christ himself, well, he rose from the dead. We know this. We remember this on Easter Sunday. The Lord Jesus Christ, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. Nobody can say that. Only Christ can say that. Only Christ. Why can he say that? Well, because he is divine. He's not simply a man. He is the God-man. And, we could look in great detail at all the examples just in this gospel particularly of John, emphasizes the divinity of Christ, that Christ is God. You see it even in this passage, for example, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The Son is equal with the Father. Life comes from God. Everyone knew that. God is the originator, the source of all life. But now here's the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is saying life is in him. making himself equal with God. This is the God-man. He is divine, the second person of the Trinity. And so when Christ died, he had power to rise again and ascend into heaven. And he is even now at the right hand of the Father, equal with God, you see. And he will return in the glory of the Father. And well, this is what will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Well, now let's just think of the implications of this teaching. What does this mean for us, for every single one of us? Well, first of all, very simply, it means that death is not the end. Death is not the end. Some people like to think that death is the end, that there is nothing after death. That's what people say. You live for 70-odd years, and then you die, and you simply cease to exist. But that's not true, according to the scriptures, according to the Bible. Yes, we die, but Christ will wake you up one day. Christ will wake you up. And you will be compelled to arise. Christ's voice will sound out like a loud trumpet, like a loud alarm, and you will have to get up. I know that sometimes when we fall asleep and in the morning, if we don't want to get up, we just turn the alarm off and we throw it to the other side of the room. But when Christ comes, you will have to get up from the dead. There's no two ways about it. Christ will call us and we shall all rise. Death is not the end. But what we also learn from this passage is that what we do in this life will determine what happens to us in the next life. What we do in this life determines what happens in the next life. We shall all come forth, verse 29, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We are given either a reward or a punishment. A reward or a punishment, because, you see, this is a day of judgment. This is the day of judgment that is being spoken of here. Verse 27. We read of how the authority to judge has been given to Christ, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. This is the day of judgment that we're speaking of. Christ will return as a judge, and there will be a day of judgment. Again, do we believe this? Sometimes you speak to people who say they're Christians, they don't believe in a day of judgment. They don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They don't believe in a day of judgment. Why is that? Well, people don't like this idea. People don't like this idea of being judged. Don't judge me because of this. Don't judge me because of that. We live in that kind of culture. But dear friends, the day of judgment will come. And you know, perhaps it's better to think of it like this. It is a day of justice. The day of judgment is a day of justice, and we say this very often. You know, there is very little justice in this world. So many injustices in this world, so many crimes that are committed that are never punished, or at least not adequately punished. And you hear of so many people who seem to get away with what they have done, people who do terrible things. And they're never caught. And when they die, well, then you say to yourself, oh, they've got away with it. They did terrible things in their lives, but they've died and they've escaped justice. They've got away with it. That's what so many people think. But dear friends, when we read these words, we learn that nobody is going to get away with anything. Nobody is going to get away with what they have done. We all have to give an account before the Lord. We all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? And dear friends, well, we have to ask this question even on Easter Sunday. How will it be for you? What group will you be in? Two groups of people here, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Which group are you going to be in? Well, now, dear friends, we have to clarify these words, because when you read them, you may be tempted to think that, I get it. If I live a good life, well, then I'll be all right. If I do good things, then I'll be with God. And if I do bad things, only evil people like Adolf Hitler, they go to be damned. They go to a place of damnation. Is it as simple as that? No, of course not. It's not as simple as that. Because, well, the Bible teaches us that nobody can be good enough for God. Not a single person. Nobody can be good enough for God. Now, I'm not saying that nobody can do good things. We all do good things at times. But the point is that all of our good things have been spoiled. All of our good things, our good works, have been ruined by all the sins that we have committed. The things that we've done wrong. We've all done wicked things. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. Things that weigh heavy on our conscience, things that we know are wrong, secrets that we would never tell to anybody else. Why not? Because you know they're wrong. And you don't want everybody to know all your secrets because you've done wicked things. We've all sinned. So yes, we've done good works, but our good things are all spoiled, ruined by all the wicked things that we've done. That's why we can never be good enough for God. And these verses, by the way, and this is very important to our thinking this morning, these verses actually say to us that there's more than that. We sin because of our state. By nature, we are in a terrible state. We don't have spiritual life within us. We are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead by nature. You may well be physically alive. You may be well, healthy, intelligent, prosperous in your life. But by nature, man is spiritually dead. A dead man, a dead person has no understanding. And well, somebody who's spiritually dead has no understanding of the Word of God. No understanding, no clear understanding. Yes, you may know the parables. Yes, you may know the miracles, but you don't really understand what it's all about. How does it apply to me, to my life? What is God actually telling me to do? A dead person has no understanding. Somebody who's spiritually dead also has no understanding. You can't get through to them. Nothing really makes sense. They read the Word of God, it doesn't make sense. They try to pray, well, they can't pray because there's no spiritual life in them. Somebody who's dead is cold. A dead person is cold to the touch. And again, that's true of somebody who's spiritually dead. You're cold to the things of God. You can't be moved. You hear the gospel, but you couldn't care less. You never respond to these things because, of course, you're spiritually dead. That's all of us. All of us at one time were like that, spiritually dead, but there's only one thing that can bring us to life. One thing that brings us to spiritual life, and that is the gospel, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us through the voice of the gospel, through the message of the gospel. Let's just look at verse 25 as time is running on, because Christ is speaking here about the gospel age. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This is speaking about the gospel age. The hour is coming and now is. This is a time that now is. It's not speaking about a future event. This is a time that is now upon us, the gospel age. And what happens in the gospel age? The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The spiritually dead, that is. Those who are spiritually dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God through the gospel, and they shall live. Every Christian, you see, has already experienced a death and resurrection. Once upon a time, they were dead. They were spiritually dead. That's how we're all born. And yet, when they heard the gospel, when they heard the voice of Christ, they came to life. That's the testimony of every Christian. Once I was lost, now I am found. Once I was dead, now I've been brought back to life. Every Christian has already had a resurrection experience. They heard the voice of Christ. By the way, it's the voice of Christ that you hear when you're saved. It's not the voice of a preacher. Some people come into this place, into this church, they hear the message, and they go out totally unmoved, totally unaffected. Why is that? Well, because they've only heard my voice. They haven't heard the voice of Christ. The voice of Christ. You don't hear the voice of Christ with your ears. It's not an audible voice. The voice of Christ speaks to your soul. It imparts life to your soul. It gives you understanding. Suddenly you can understand. I understand who Christ is. I understand what Christ is to me. He's my Savior. He's not just somebody you hear about in church. He is my Savior. And when he died on the cross, I understand now. I never understood it before. When Christ died on the cross all those years ago, he was paying the price for my sin. Sins that I have committed in my life, Christ took the punishment upon himself. I understand it now because Christ is giving me understanding. And you're no longer cold to the things of God. Before, you didn't care less. But when you hear the voice of Christ, well, Christ, if I can put it this way, he speaks words of love to you. Words of love. I loved you and I gave myself for you. And when you hear that from Christ himself, speaking personally to you, well, then you are moved. Then you are changed. The voice of Christ has risen you from the dead. The hour is coming and now is when the dead, the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Dear friends, this is what we must know. This is what we must experience. This is how we find ourselves in the good group. Remember, there were two groups that will come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Those who are good, they are only good because of their faith. Because of their faith. It is by faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. That's what the scriptures say. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this group that have found acceptance in the sight of God, it's not because they're good people, it's because of their faith. Their faith, God has seen their faith and he has counted it to them for righteousness. Isn't that what he did to Abraham? He saw his faith and it was credited to him for righteousness. This is the same thing. Because we have faith, God looks upon us, and we are good in his sight. But you must have that faith, dear friends. Again, I have to ask, which group are you in? Those who have done good unto the resurrection of life? Or are you in the group that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Dear friends, I don't want to spend long on this because it's a terrible subject. But you know, the greatest sin of this group, the greatest sin of those who have done evil, well, it's actually something that they haven't done. It's actually something they haven't done. You know, there are two types of sin. You know this, but I'm just reminding you. There are sins of commission, the things that we do, and there are sins of omission, the things that you don't do. And the greatest sin of this group is something they haven't done. They never sought the Lord. They never sought his salvation. They rejected the gospel a million times. They never turned. They never repented. That terrible sin of omission. The preacher every week was exhorting people. Friends and family were urging me to come to Christ. You never did it. A sin of omission, something you never did. And that will be the greatest sin. That will be the greatest mark upon those people, that second group. They never turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. But dear friends, it's different for us in that we still have time. Every single one of you, whatever your state and situation, you still have time to turn to the Lord, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring all your sins and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Grant me understanding. Grant me love for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel. I want to be found in that group at the very end of time that have done good, that have faith, that shall be resurrected unto life. I want to be in that group. Dear friends, pray that prayer. What a wonderful thing it would be if on that resurrection morning, every single one of us here, every single one will be found in that group. What rejoicing there will be. We'll remember this day when the message went out. We'll remember it. Remember when you said what a glorious thing it would be if on that resurrection morning we'll all be there. And we're all there. What a tremendous joy. Dear friends, turn. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself before him. And there will be everlasting joy for every single one of us. Marvel not at this. Don't reject this. Don't forget this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. May the Lord bless these very serious things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, O Lord, look upon us. Look upon our state, Lord. Lord, we may well have committed great sins in our lives, great sins of commission, great sins of omission. Perhaps we have never turned to thee and have rejected thee so many times. Lord, look upon us now and change us, that we may all be found together on that great and coming day, that day of judgment, that day of justice. Lord, bless these things to us, we pray. We ask all of these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.